Well, what started as a standalone sermon has turned into a mini-series that now at the end of it I'm calling The Purpose of Temptation. I didn't know this was going to happen. This is kind of one of those things where I was just praying and feeling going by the Spirit of God. Normally when I'm doing a series, we know in advance I'm doing a series. I don't know necessarily everything that's going to be in this series at that time, but I know it's going to be a series. This one kind of... God kind of morphed it into that, but it started with a message I preached a few weeks back called A Way of Escape. And by the way, if you didn't hear these last two sermons, I encourage you to go online, go on Facebook, go on YouTube, go wherever you go to watch stuff, and watch these last two sermons because it really will help you in your life. But in this sermon, it was based on 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." Remember, God is greater, right? "But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And there were several truths we learned about temptation in this passage. I just want to remind you of them today. Number one, temptation is not sin. So many people get under condemnation because they are tempted by something. Temptation is not sin. We saw that Jesus was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. So temptation is not sin, but temptation is common to us all. And we saw that biblically there's only three types of temptation: the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every single temptation you've ever faced or will ever face are in one of those three categories. And there is no special category of temptation created just for you. There is no overcomable temptation created just for you. Every temptation you face is common to man, and people have faced it for centuries and overcome it in the power of God. We saw that God never tempts us to sin. We saw that God will allow us to be tempted, but never beyond what we can bear. And we also saw that God makes a way of escape. But we saw that that way of escape is not always an escape from temptation. The text says, "With the temptation, God will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." To bear it means to endure the temptation, to go through the hardship. That means there's no temptation that comes against you beyond that which you are able to resist with God's help. Now, if you try it in your own strength, in your own name, in your own power, with your own wisdom, you'll fall every time. But with the help of God and the strength of God, you can resist. And last week I preached a follow-up message called The Purpose of Temptation. And we saw that temptation has several purposes. It shows us what's in our hearts. Sometimes we think, well, we know what's in our hearts, but a temptation will pop up and you're like, "Oh, okay, I didn't know that was in there." So temptation keeps you humble and dependent on God. It shows you the reality of your faith and commitment to God. The Bible says temptation proves the depth of your love for God, your ability to resist it. Temptation teaches you to rely on the Word of God. Yes. Resisting temptation builds your strength to resist temptation. You got to do it. It's one of those things. You got to start resisting, and God builds your temptation resisting muscles. And most importantly, temptation is part of the process God uses of maturing you and conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, this week, I felt led to preach a sermon called Between the Promise and the Promised Land. Between the promise and the promised land. Now think about this. The children of Israel received a promise from God. They had a promise from God that he was going to deliver them from slavery in Egypt, take them to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They're going to live in houses they didn't build and cultivate fields they didn't plant. It was going to be a place of great blessing. But think about everything that happened to them between the promise and the time they actually occupied the promised land. In between the promise and the promised land were things like an Egyptian army, the Red Sea that they could not cross on their own. There was the wilderness. There was the desert. There was hunger. There was thirst. There was temptations. There was trials. There was problems. There was years of waiting and wandering. And there were many enemies in the land who did not want to give up the land. There were giants in that land. But also in between the promise and the promised land were things like this. God parted the Red Sea. God defeated the Egyptian army. God defeated other enemies. God miraculously provided water in the desert. God miraculously provided food on a daily basis. So we see that when Israel obeyed God, worshiped God, and followed God, they were blessed and they were protected. But when they gave in to temptation, they forfeited the blessing, and many of them died in the wilderness. We preached about this last week or the week before. And they never, listen, they never made it into the promised land because they were overcome by the things that were between the promise and the promised land. I'm going to repeat this to you repeatedly today so that you get it. There are things in between the promise and the promised land. We get the promise, we want to immediately inherit it. We want to immediately receive it. We want to immediately walk in it. We're like kids, you know, at Christmas time, can we open the presents yet? Can we open the presents yet? Can we open the presents yet? And in our lives, between the promise and the promised land, between our dream and the fulfillment of it, between the vision and the reality of it, there are times of temptation and testing, enemies to overcome, and problems to solve. Yes. Now listen, how we respond to those temptations and problems determines whether or not we receive the fulfillment of the promise. See, a lot of people just think these promises are automatic. Did all those people enter into the promised land? No, the majority of those that received that promise back in Egypt did not. We sometimes fail to understand this, and I'm going to preach on this for a minute, and I want you to get this down in you very, very good today. The promises of God are usually conditional. For instance, God promised the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6:3, all will go well with you. He's talking about when they go to the promised land. All will go well with you. You'll have many children in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. You're like, man, that's awesome. I receive it. God's going to bless me. God's going to bless my children. All's going to go well with me. This land is flowing with milk and honey. That just means it's a place of prosperity and blessing. But here's what the verses before that say. You better start looking at context when you pull a text out of the Bible. When the Bible says, therefore, you better look what came before that. It's called conjunctions. They're tied together. The verses say, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If, can you say if? If is a big word in the Bible. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you'll enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel. Listen closely, Grand Prairians and Arlingtonians and Midlothianers and DFWers, Planoians, whatever you, wherever you're from. Listen closely and be careful to obey. Now comes the promise. Then, if, then. Remember those two words. If, then, if you obey, then all will go well with you. You'll have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. So God promised them long life. God promised them multiplication and increase. God promised them abundance if they kept his commandments. The word if is a conditional clause. It's a conjunction that indicate the circumstances that would have to exist in order for something to happen. So here's the first point I'm making today, and I'm only making two, so this is the first one. Between a promise and the promised land are conditions. Now, when I say conditions, I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm talking about requirements. Most of God's promises are conditional. It means this. When God says, if you do this, I will do that. This always gives us a choice to go God's way or our ways. And that's when the tempter comes in. That's when temptation comes in Temptation comes in to try to tempt us to go our own way rather than God's way. That's Satan always trying to keep us out of our promised land, out of our prophetic destiny. He wants to keep us wandering in the wilderness our whole entire lives. Now I'm going to spend a few minutes here showing you some of the many conditional promises of the Bible. There's many. I'm just going to show you a few today. For example, there are conditions to prayers being answered. I don't even have time to talk about all the conditions for answered prayer today, but I'm going to give you a few. Listen, Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." So we see here a promise. It will be given, and the condition, if you ask, right? Don't expect God, some people do this, just to see your need and meet it. You must ask for it. In fact, James said in James 4:2-3, "You do not have because you do not ask God. You have not because you ask not." Yes. Ask big, man. Yes. Ask big. Yes. I'd rather ask for a lot of stuff and not get it all than ask for nothing and get all of nothing. Even when you ask, you do not receive because your motives are all wrong. You want only to what will give you pleasure. So we, in this passage, we see two conditions to answer prayer. Ask, and ask with right motives. If your prayers are selfish, you're only concerned about yourself, you will not get what you ask for, the Bible says. James said, don't think you're going to get anything from God. In fact, in Matthew 21:22, Jesus gives another condition for answered prayer. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So faith is a condition for answered prayer. In fact, James 1:7, if you don't ask in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you an answer. 1 John 3:22, another condition for answered prayer. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. People stop there. Because we do obey his commandments and do those things that please him. People think I can just walk how I want to walk, live how I want to live, just live in disobedience, and God's just going to give me whatever I want. Wrong. Obedience is a condition for answered prayer. I could go on and on with it, just conditions for prayer. In 1 John 5, it says, if we pray according to God's will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, he will answer. So praying according to his will is part of it. Are you getting this? There's conditional promises in the Bible. I'll give you some familiar ones. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God promises to forgive us and to heal our land if we meet his conditions of humbling ourselves, repenting, turning from sin, praying, seeking his face, turning from wicked ways. There are conditions. Romans 10:9 says, if, can you say if? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We're not saved by good works. We are saved by faith and saved by confessing Jesus as Lord. Those are God's conditions. No one will be saved without faith and without a confession of faith. Amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if, can you say if? Yes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we have the promise of forgiveness if we meet the condition of confessing our sins. But confession is not the only condition. For instance, in Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's New Testament. That's Jesus. Those are red letters in your Bible. People don't want to hear this kind of stuff today. They just say, I just want the salvation. I want the forgiveness. I want the blessing. I want the answer to prayer. Don't talk to me about any conditions. It don't work that way. All of us want to live long lives. We all want our lives to go well. God promises to give us that. But there are conditions. Yes. Ephesians 6:2-3. Honor your mother, your father and mother, listen, which is the first commandment with a promise. Here's the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. many times when things are not going well for us in life, it can be traced back to a violation of this conditional promise. By the way, this is not just for little children. I'm a grown man. You saw my daddy preach here a few weeks ago, 90 years old. When he tells me to do something, I say, yes, sir, and I do it. I honor him. I respect him. I don't ever speak bad about him. My mom's dead and gone. I honor her. I loved her. I bless her. Even I bless her memory. She wasn't perfect. As she got older, she got a form of dementia that caused her to get pretty mean, and she was hard to love at that point. But I don't speak ill of my mother. I know, I understand the word of God. To honor, respect my parents, that it may go well with me and that I may live a long life. So I want to encourage you, if things aren't going well for you, look, look at this. And if prayers aren't being answered, look at these different conditions. Is there something that maybe you're doing or not doing that's hindering? One just came to me. Men, one of the verses we tremble when we read in the Bible. It's in 1st or 2nd Peter. It's one of those. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Men, husbands, that your prayers be not hindered. You mean to tell me I could be doing everything right, have faith, ask according to the will of God, repent of my sin, do all those things, but if I'm not living with my wife in an understanding way, in a right way, it's going to hinder my prayers? Y'all got real quiet on me right there, man. It's serious. I'm trying to help you today. And I could literally spend days going over these conditional promises of the Bible. And I hope you're getting it, because in these days where people are teaching hyper grace, a grace out of balance, there's a tendency for people just to believe for blessings from God no matter what they believe, no matter how they act, no matter how they are living. And that is just a lie from the devil. That is the tempter tempting you to just go your own way rather than God and think God will still bless you. But God's way is this: between the promise and the promised land, there are conditions. And sometimes people say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, you better check the word of God. And look up these verses I taught you today. Go back and listen to this message. Look up. You can probably just Google conditions for answered prayer. And read those, and maybe there's something. Ask God. God, search my heart. Know my heart. Is there something I'm doing that's hindering my prayer? By the way, sometimes people intentionally don't meet the conditions. They know it's there, but they somehow exempt themselves from it. I got a personal exemption. Oh, really? God's exempting you from the word of God on this. They expect a harvest without ever planting any seed. They expect financial blessing without ever giving tithes and offerings or ever operating in any of God's financial principles. They expect good kids without ever having to discipline them. They expect a dream marriage without ever having to die to themselves. They expect a dream job without ever having to submit to a boss. They expect to have their dreams and life fulfilled without ever having to work for it, without ever having to fight for it, without ever having to exercise faith for it. It's going to happen. But I'm telling you today, between your dream and your destiny are conditions. Between your promise and your promised land are conditions. And number two, this will probably bless you even more. Between a promise and a promised land, there are problems. Come on, say amen right there. As I was thinking about this sermon, I was reminded of a book I had read years ago. It came out in the 70s by a pastor named Bob Mumford. It was called The Purpose of Temptation. And I just remembered, it's weird. I haven't looked at that book in decades. If you go in my office, in our office, it's full of thousands of books. And And I knew right where this one was on the shelf. And I haven't looked, cracked this thing open. In fact, the place where I had marked in it in the years ago were so faded I couldn't even hardly see it. But he taught what was called the law of the four P's. The law of the four P's. Here it is. Next slide. Here it is. God gives a promise that's linked to a principle. That's the condition. If, then. God gives a promise that's linked to a principle, followed by a problem. Wilderness temptation that leads to a provision or the promised land. We will stay stuck in the wilderness if we do not understand this pattern. We will die in the wilderness like the children of Israel, wanting the promised land without meeting the conditions. We'll stay stuck in life if we don't understand the purpose of problems. I preached on that last week. We've got to realize that problems don't come to replace the provision. Problems come as part of the process of receiving the provision. Listen, this messes with your theology a little bit, but you need the problem to prepare for the promised land. I'm praying about this. Not sure if I'm going to do it, but I'm praying about next week preaching a message called The Necessity of an Enemy. The necessity of an enemy. We need the problem to prepare us for the promised land. The children of Israel died in the wilderness because they never could accept the problem as part of God's plan. Between the promise and the promised land, there is a wilderness of problems. That's true in every area of your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family, in your career, in your health, in your finances. And if we don't understand this, we will just keep taking another lap around the wilderness. Listen, God can change your circumstances immediately if he wants to. So when he doesn't, is it possible that what he wants to change is us? And sometimes you're trying to get out of a situation that God's got you in right now. I've told you this, if we fix the fix that God fixes the fixes, God will have to fix another fix to fix us. What if these circumstances are here to bring about changes in us? And see, what happens is this. If we don't learn that God wants us to learn from the problems we face, he will be patient with us. He will allow us another lap around the wilderness. But each lap will gradually get harder and harder. Until we learn the principle, overcome the problem, and enter the promised land, or we die in the wilderness. Some people never get out of the wilderness. They live there. Their whole lives. Now, I could give you dozens of examples of people all through the Bible who had to go through this process before they received their promise or they missed out on it. I'll give you a few. Adam and Eve. We'll go all the way back to the beginning. They were promised personal fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. The condition was obey God's command. And God said, so God, to test them, God put a tree in the garden. He said, you can eat all of these other trees, all the fruit of them, but of this one you cannot eat. But what did Satan do? He got them to focus on the one he couldn't have. It's the forbidden fruit. And he tempted them, and they ate of that tree anyway. And the result is they failed to follow God. They fell into sin. It's called the fall of man. The fall of man, that's what it's talking about. And sin and death enter the world. And we've all been impacted by it. And they were kicked out of the garden and lost that intimate fellowship with God. They failed the test. Moses was promised to be the deliverer of Israel. One condition was he could only do and say what God said to do or say. And at first, Moses failed the test. He took things into his own hands and thought he was going to help the people of God by killing an Egyptian. He ended up having to run and go into exile in the wilderness and in the desert until the time when God saw that he was ready to lead the Israelites to the promised land. And along that way, there was lots of tests and trials. And in fact, Moses himself saw the land but did not enter. David was promised and anointed to be king of Israel. The condition was obedience to the will and the timing of God. The big problem was there was a promise, there was a principle. The problem was there was already a king. His name was Saul. He was alive and well. He wouldn't want another king. He wanted his son to be king. He would always try to go after David and kill David many times, but David passed the test. He passed the test. He honored that king. He touched not the Lord's anointed. He understood the principle. And God eventually crowned him as king of Israel. Joseph had a vision and a promise from God that he would be a ruler. The condition was faith and trusting in God for the timing and the process. It did not happen the way Joseph thought it was because there was a huge problem. His own brothers hated him, threw him into a pit, then sold him into slavery. And while he was a slave, he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. He languished there for years. Years and years, but in those years, God was at work. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Psalm 105:19 in the New Living Translation says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the word of the Lord kept trying and testing him. Joseph had a word from God, a prophetic word. A promise from God. But big problems came between that promise and the promised land. And in all those years of problems and waiting, the prophetic word that Joseph received rang in his ears. He was tempted to doubt it. That's what Satan does when you get a word from God. He comes to us just like he went to Adam and Eve. His tactics don't change. Here's what he says. Hath God said? Did God really say that? Is that word really true? In fact, is any of this really even true? That will test you. That will try you. And the Satan's goal is to try to get you to give up, to get you to go your own way rather than God's way, to get you to turn back, to get you to lose faith. So when you get a word from God, a prophecy, a dream, a vision, Satan immediately tries to steal it from you because he wants to keep you out of your promised land. That's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18-19, I'm giving you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies previously made about you. Paul remembered them. Timothy remembered them. There was prophetic words spoken over Timothy. So that by them, by these prophetic words, you may strongly engage in battle. Having faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these and have suffered the shipwreck of their faith. Rejected what? Faith, good conscience, strongly engaging in battle. Paul's saying, look, there's going to be a problem between your promise and your promised land. There's going to be a problem between your prophetic word and its fulfillment. There's an enemy who wants to steal it from you. He wants to keep you from your promise, but you must strongly engage in spiritual warfare. You must stay in faith. You must keep a good conscience. If you don't, you're in danger of shipwrecking your own faith. They shipwrecked their faith. I can tell you, I've been in church my whole life. I started going to church 9 months before I was born. And I've been there every Sunday since. I probably hadn't missed 3 or 4 Sundays in my lifetime. And I've seen people turn from God when their promise did not immediately come true. I've seen people's bones scattered across the wilderness, so to speak. But we must choose to be like Joseph, to pass the test, to stay in faith, to keep believing. Amen. And one day he was raised up, and one day he was raised up into his promised land. And one day he went from prison to the palace, second in command to the whole country. Now listen, years and years of problems came before that one day. Years of temptation, years of testing, years of trying, years of suffering. And there's so many other examples of this in the Bible. I just gave you 3 or 4. I can't give them to you all, but they're all written down for us to learn from. We've experienced in our own lives. Pastor Deb and I have experienced this. We've told the story about when she received the word of God, the word from the Lord that we were going to buy the house that we're living in now. We were going to buy a house. We didn't know it was going to be that one. But it didn't just happen. There were years of praying, waiting, praying, searching, praying, warring, working extra jobs, saving, until the day came when we finally possess that promise. We had a word from God that we would pastor a church here, but it didn't just happen. There were years of praying and waiting and getting counsel and planning and working an amazing amount of spiritual warfare to try to get us to stop. But the day came when we planted this promised church, and here we are today. Believe me, there were many times we could have quit, gave up, and gone back. But we knew that between our promise and our promised land, there's conditions from God we must meet, and there's demons from hell we have to defeat. I want you to get that. I want you to get this. I'm closing with this. Between your promise and your promised land, there are conditions from God you must meet and demons from hell you must defeat. So how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, here's what we do. Our job is to submit to God and resist the devil. Our job is to love God and hate evil. Our job is to follow God's way and not our own way. To lean on God and not our own understanding. To believe every word from God and to reject every lie and deception from the enemy. To put on the whole armor of God and to resist every attack of the enemy. To put on the garment of praise and take off a spirit of heaviness. To praise God for his promises. To praise God for his word that shows you how to possess your promise. To praise him for the authority that's in Jesus' name to defeat every enemy. To praise him. It happens. If it's a word for you, take it. I mean, I'm so glad I can laugh at myself. That's a good thing. It's funny the things you hear yourself say. This is really going to be a good, big ending. And I just fell flat on my face right there. So I'm going back. Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise God for his promise. Praise God for his word. Praise for the authority in Jesus' name. Praise him for the patience to wait on his timing. And praise God for the faith and the character he's building in you through this process that you may inherit his promise in Jesus' name. In between the promise and the promised land, there's conditions, but in the power of God, you can meet them. In between the promise and the promised land, there are devils, but you can defeat them. Problems, you can solve them with the help of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll save that one for my blooper highlight reel. Thank you. All right, what's God saying to you? If. Is there an if? Is there an if? You're waiting for the then. Is there an if? By the way, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again, we read the passage today. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And I want to encourage you today, at home or here, as our prayer team comes down, if you've never given your heart to Jesus at home, you can just in the comments write #MyDecision. We'll contact you and pray with you. If you're here today, you want to give your heart to the Lord. If you've been away and you just need to get back, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God, you need healing, you need a financial blessing, you need to pray for somebody else, whatever it is, we want to pray with you. See the hand of God move in your life. I love you so much. I pray you have an awesome week. We're going to be singing one more song and we'll be dismissed. All right, let's all stand together and sing.